In Mark chapter 16, verse number 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11, that is Jesus, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and shall speak with new tongues, and shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And then, if you will, in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, and verse number 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then in Acts chapter 1, I trust these are familiar passages with you. This is where it's going to get tricky for you to hold your fingers there, okay? You can do that. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 7. Acts chapter 1, verse number 7. And he, that is Jesus, said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or see the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you, Father, for your watch care over us. And Lord, the help that you give us moment by moment. Lord, we praise your name for Jesus and for salvation through him. We thank you, Father, that he is the Word. And Lord, we thank you that we do have your Word that tells us about all things that you want us to know and all things that you want us to observe and follow. We thank you, Father, for the great commission that you've given unto your church. And Lord, we thank you for not only saving us, but putting us in your kind of church and where you've commissioned us to spread the gospel and the seed and the word, Lord, to all nations. Help, Father, as we look into your word, that we might be encouraged in it. Lord, we might have renewed desire and zeal to obey you in it. And Lord, for any that are here and not saved this morning, Lord, that they might see their great need and that we would feel the privilege and blessing that we have of proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. Lord, make it effectual and work in their hearts and save them and draw them to yourself as you only can. Help now, we pray and bless. Lord, remove the cares of the world and the things of life from our hearts and minds at this time. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here in these passages, we have, as we refer to them, the Great Commission. And this commission is given by the Lord Jesus Christ to these disciples that are there at the time of his ministry and after he was crucified, rose from the dead, and appeared to them. And what we want to look at this morning is just this call to missionary work, the call to missionary work. As we take a look at these passages, and if you can, as you look at that one there in Mark chapter 16, as we come down through there and come into verse number 15, the scripture there says, "Go ye, go ye." Okay? And that's those to whom he was speaking. I mean, it was certainly directly given to them. But it says to them, "Go ye." In Matthew chapter 28, if you can work your way over to there and see in verse number 19, it says there at the beginning of that, go ye, okay, the Lord says. And then in Acts chapter 1, there in the middle of verse number 8, it says, "Ye shall be witnesses." Okay, so the Lord makes it very clear that these to whom he is speaking to, he says, "You're to go. And you're to be witnesses of me." It's some of the last words that we have recorded of our Lord Jesus Christ during the time of his ministry. He says, "Go ye, ye shall be witnesses." Witnesses of what? Well, witnesses of him. And then if we're going backwards, we'll consider here in Acts chapter 1, we see here that he says witnesses. There is what is it that we are to do? And that here in Acts, it's kind of contained all in one. "Ye shall be witnesses." The witnesses are to do what? Are to witness. Witness of what? Well, witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that he has done, the things that he has promised, the things that he has commanded. If you back up to Matthew chapter 28, if you can flip over there, we're a witness, as it says there in Acts chapter 1, and in Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach." Okay, so there's the who, and then there's the what that's to be done, witness, teach. And then in Mark chapter 16, if you can back up to there and see, and there in verse number 15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach," okay, or to proclaim the gospel to every creature. Now going back forward, so we've got the who he's commanded, the go ye, the witnesses, right, to preach, teach, and witness. And then he says, to whom? To whom? Well, in Mark chapter 16, he says to every creature, not a select few, not a certain ethnic group, not a certain continent or such as that, but go ye and preach and teach and witness to every creature. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach what? All nations, all right? All nations. Teach them these things. Preach to them these things. And then in Acts chapter 1, he says here that they're to be witnesses where? Well, where they were, in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. And so we have this commission to whom it's given, to what to do in that commission, and to whom to do it to. And of course, we know that this is not, I trust we know this, that this commission given by the Lord, it's not a Christian commission. Okay, although it goes without saying that every person that is saved is to be a witness and a proclaimer of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them and of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we understand the scriptures right, and I believe that we do, this commission is not a Christian commission, but a church commission. Okay, because the context of the new scriptures is always in a church context. Now, men, women, boys, and girls of mankind, we change things. And in God's infinite wisdom and the way he is working and operating in this world and amongst mankind, he allows that. That's the way I would say it. He allows that to be. But the design of the Lord is that sinners saved by the Lord Jesus Christ are to be baptized and join by that baptism his New Testament Baptist church. That's the design. That's the plan. And so and this is shored up and reaffirmed in that this commission this order to go ye, be a witness, preach, teach, and witness to every creature, all nations, close to home, a little bit further out, a little bit further away, and matter of fact, the rest of the world, is to his church. It's to a church, his church. It is to his body. In Matthew chapter 16, and you can go ahead and drop those passages for now. Let's take a look over here in Matthew chapter 16. We see the Lord here making a promise, and Brother Doug covered this morning. We can believe the Lord in what he says. We can trust him, certainly in it. Anything he says, we know it's true. It will come to pass. We see here in Matthew chapter 16 where the Lord says, dealing with his apostles and that. He asked them, who do men say that he is? And then they answer, and then he asks, who do you say that I am? Peter gives an answer to that. And then in verse number 17 of Matthew 16, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's the way salvation is it's a revealing of Christ by the Lord unto the sinner. And I say also unto thee, see that also? Understand about salvation. But the design and the plan and the purpose and work of God is even more. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, a small stone. We understand that from this scripture. And upon this rock, the Lord implying himself, I will build my church. I'm going to build her. And the gates of hell, or that is death, shall not prevail against it. The death of men will not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee, not unto Peter, not unto the apostles, but I will give unto thee this body, this institution that the Lord has ordained. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, just like Israel had had those keys. Just like Israel had had the oracle of God, the word of God. I'm taking those keys and I'm taking them from my nation and I am giving them to my church. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's serious. That's some responsibility and some authority. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so here the Lord Jesus telling about how he's going to build his church. If this were an apostolic commission, it would have passed, wouldn't it? Now, there are those that claim to be apostles, but we know from the scriptures they indeed are not. There are no more apostles. The apostles were for a time. They were for a time of transition. The Lord taking those keys from the nation, giving them to his church. The church, the doctrine of the church, is built upon the foundation of the apostles. The scripture bears that out. And so we see in this passage, indeed, this is a church commission, not a Christian commission, although everyone that's saved certainly would have an obligation to tell good news that had changed them. Amen. But this is a church commission, not an apostolic commission, and not any other governmental commission, but it is given to his church. Well, what's that mean? Well, that means that commission is given to me and you, all of us together. We're all the go ye. We're all the witnesses. We are to proclaim and teach and witness of what Christ has done unto us. And there's not one soul that we're to withhold it from. May God help us to see that. And may we be invigorated in it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's take a look over here quickly just to see some of how the Lord refers to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just a few passages here to just get an understanding that this is a institutional, a church commissioned by the Lord to go to preach and teach and witness to everyone that we come in contact with. We need to be spreading the gospel, sowing the seed, because listen, brothers and sisters, there's nobody else to do it but you and me. There's no one else to do it. There's no one else that's been given this to do in a greater way than you and I have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see here about the apostle writing about spiritual gifts. And amongst this, these words here speaking that he gives in the scripture about dealing with spiritual gifts, we see in verse 4 that there's diversities of these gifts given by one Spirit, the Spirit of God. There's differences of administrations in verse number 5, but it's all the Lord working. Verse number 6, there's diversities of operations and that it's God working in all of those. And where is he working it in? He's working it in his body. He tells about different things. In verse number 9, in verse number 10, the working of miracles, which is past, a prophecy, handling of the word, discerning of spirits. I tell you what, we need that discerning of spirits today, because there are spirits that are going about, doctrine that is going about, false prophets that are proclaiming false doctrine, that people that are, claim to be the Lord's are gobbling up and grabbing a hold of and are being destroyed. That's the way that it is. And so he tells about different things and that it's the Spirit that divides these things out as he sees fit in the membership of the church. But in verse number 12, for as the body is one, the body is one. And that is that body that the Lord said that he would build. And listen to what he says, and hath many members. That's you and me. We're all to be nourishers and edifiers. We all have needs that the body helps us with, but we're all to be engaged in both of those things for the sake of the body and to partake in that witness and that commission that the Lord has given us. That is our mission, is to spread the gospel and the word of the Lord. That is the driving point of what we are to do. He goes on down through here. We're all baptized in verse number 13 into one body, no matter what our nationality, no matter what our state in life is. There's no respecter of persons. There's not to be in the body. For the body is not one member, but many. And so that commission coming to the Lord's church, it just doesn't come to the pastor. It comes to all of us. We're all to be spreading that word. He talks about here about things that different parts of the body might say one to another. And he says here in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And it just wouldn't work, would it? We'd just be one big nose or one big toe or something like that. In that analogy, right? He said, but verse 18, but now have God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. So it's the working of the Lord. If you're a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, it's God's call unto you. Not something that you've done certainly we need to obey the Lord and please the Lord, but understand you joining, you baptizing, you are part of this body and you have a work to do. Find it. And do it and help in what the Lord has called us to do. He set us in the body as it's pleased him, and he set us in the body not just to ride, but to work for him. And he says, and if they were all one member, verse 19, where would be the body, right? But now are they many members, yet one body. And so the commission of the Lord comes to the church. It's a church commission. And who is the church? Well, it's you and me. It's us here at Olmsted Baptist Church. In verse number 25, that there should be no schism in the body. We have needs and we supplement in those needs and abilities and talent and whatever the Lord, however the Lord blesses and works in that. That there should be no schism in the body. There's that help of one member to another. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, not somebody else, but us. And that commission is given to us. That go ye, that be a witness, that preach, proclaim, teach, witness to every person. It comes to the body, and the body is us. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Yeah, there's individuals that make up the body. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at another way that our brother Peter refers to it as he writes here in the scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Ye also, 1 Peter 2, verse number 5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. In 1 Corinthians 12, we saw about a body. Here, Peter speaks about a house with lively stones. We've been saved. We've been made alive. We've been added by the Lord. Remember what he said in Matthew? He said he's going to build it, right? He's building us into his house. Your lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. What did the priest do? He interceded, did he not? Is there necessity for intercession for the child of God, between the child of God and God? Well, we know we have the Lord Jesus interceding for us before the Father, right? And so it's God interceding before God for the children of God. You see what I'm saying? You don't need me to intercede for you, do you? No. But who does need intercession? The sinner out here in the world without Christ, they need intercession. And we've been called to be the interceder, amen? To carry the word and the gospel unto them. We're built into a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood rather, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We're built into this house in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, his house, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles, that doctrine that the Lord used them to convey to us, and the witness that they were of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the foundation of the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the one that has built it. He's the one that holds it all together, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God. How's he do that? How's he live in us? How was it that he lived he abode there in the tabernacle in the wilderness? He had that place of the holies of holies where the Lord would be there. The Spirit and the greatness of God there was there on the mercy seat. Remember that? Then in the temple that Solomon built, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, the Lord would abide there among his people. You know where he abides now? Right here in Olmsted Baptist Church. Sure, he abides in other churches too, but this is the one that's important to us. Amen. And so the commission indeed comes to his church. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, chapter 4 of Ephesians, we see here, in verse number 15, but speaking the truth in love, this has been a theme of Olmsted Baptist Church for decades. Has it not? It has been. Former pastors have taken this and used this, but speaking the truth in love. We need to be speaking the truth in love. We need to be telling it, proclaiming it, teaching it to everyone that we come in contact with. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. He's the head over this body. He's the head over this house that is Olmsted Baptist Church. He is the head over this temple. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about us. Even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, that joint that you are connected with, you need to be supplying nourishment. We need to be supplying that one to another, provoking one another to love and good works, to bear one another's burdens, to shore up together under the need that we have here locally and the work that the Lord's given us to do. According to the effectual working and the measure of every part, different parts are given different things by the Lord, right? As he gives that out, as he administers that. The measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. So we have a work amongst ourselves to do. When we have a edifying work amongst ourselves to do in those other parts of the commission. And we're considering that first part of the commission about going and teaching and preaching. There's that of baptizing believers that come. And then there's that third part of teaching them to observe all the things that are commanded. And that's part of that that's in here. But we've been given this of the Lord as his body to go forth and fill it till the Lord Jesus Christ comes. That first part of the commission, we've looked at that, to preach, teach, be a witness. Witness of what? What is it that we witness? Do we witness the doctrines of the church? Well, sometimes there's opportunity, occasion to do so. But is that what the world needs? Well, they need a stand of that indeed. And you know what? It's known what we believe by what we do in our church. Okay? And so we need to stand in those things. But in our engagement of the world, that first part is the necessity. That first part, to teach and preach the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I mean, this is a hallmark passage. You can use this as you witness to folks. Brother Jim, I don't know what to say. Tell them what the Lord did for you. Tell them what Jesus came to do for sinners. Tell them about their need and their sin and what the scripture says, that there is none righteous, no, not one. That we need a Savior, that sinners need a Savior. Here is what we preach and teach and witness, that of the gospel. Paul writing here to the church at Corinth, and he says to them, and this church has got problems. She needs to grow up. This church needs to grow up. And he is seeking to help her grow up. And he reminds here, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. Here it is, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That first part of the gospel, that Christ died. He died for sinners. Sure, he died for his people, and he died for the people that the Lord had chosen before the foundation of the world, but they don't know anything about that. They need to know that they're sinners and that Christ died. And it's only the Lord that can show them that they're a sinner. But you know what? He's chosen the means for us to tell them that they're a sinner, and I'm a sinner, and everybody else is a sinner, and you need a Savior. Because one day you're going to stand accountable before God. And the only one that'll make a difference is this one who died. Believe that he died for you. You know what? Those that are the Lord's, they'll hear that, won't they? They'll hear it. They'll hear it and they'll receive it and they'll believe it. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And not only that, that he was buried. Why? To show that he was dead. To take a thing, that thing of death, and to raise victorious over it, as we've seen here in recent times. To take death and destroy it. To take death and abolish it. He was buried. Boy, it doesn't look like it's going to turn out too good. With Jesus Christ, it turned out great, didn't it? That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It was prophesied. And then he came and did it because his promises are true, aren't they, brother? They are. He can be trusted. He has the utmost fidelity. He's faithful. And that which God purposed to do, Jesus Christ came and did. He died, was buried, and rose again. His good news, the good news of God, that God's going to step in and do something for man that he can't do for himself. And the climax of that, the pinnacle of that, is that he sent his son. And that Jesus came, became a man, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again to save sinners like you and me. That's what we need to tell them. That's what we need to stand in. That's what we need to take the one that wants the religious debate, just take them back to what the gospel is. If we perceive at all that they are in most need of salvation, we always need to take them to Jesus. Take them to Jesus. And don't worry about those other things. Don't get tangled up in those other things. And listen to this. And that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, that is, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, the time of this writing. But some are fallen asleep or are dead. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, that is Paul, as of one born out of due time. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is without question. Recent trials that have been on our on the public scene in our nation. They grapple the prosecution and the defense. They grapple to try to prove guilt or innocence or whatever the case may be. Oh, and if they just had some witnesses. If they just had one witness that could give testimony that they saw this or that, it would make all the difference. Oh, if they could get two or three witnesses that say that they saw this or that this happened or that that didn't happen. It makes the case solid and sure. Brothers and sisters, lost sinner friend, Jesus Christ rose from the dead and there were hundreds that testified to it. Amen? And so the resurrection is sure. To you that are here and not saved this morning, we take this occasion to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior to you. In Mark chapter 1, that's what we always need to be about doing. I hate for a service to pass without declaring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you? I mean, it needs to always be told. This is at the point, the spear point, the leading thing of what we serve and live for and represent at Olmsted Baptist Church is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We always need to be telling it. We never need to become weary of it. It says here in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, now after that John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. It was top of his list. Why shouldn't it be the top of our list? And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus came preaching. Right there at the beginning of his ministry. And we preach that to you. Repent and believe the gospel. We have this account in John chapter 3, which we're familiar with. And there are three occasions where we have sinners that come and that are in need of something. They have been troubled by the ministry or the word of the Lord, and they have been brought to that place that they know they have a need, and Nicodemus is one of those, right? He comes to the Lord. Listen to what he says in verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I know there's got to be something about you. And the Lord speaks to him about being born again. And what's Nicodemus do? He scratches his head. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get about the mystery and working of the Lord, the new birth of the Lord. He doesn't get that. He doesn't understand it. He can't comprehend it. So as we saw even last week, what's the Lord preach to him? No man, verse 13, hath ascended up to heaven. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be crucified. That brass serpent was stuck to that pole, probably with nails or some kind of fastener. And our Jesus, our Lord Jesus, was nailed to that tree. And he did so that those that look to him can live. Amen? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here you have an occasion in the scripture for one that's searching, one that's concerned about their soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ simply preached Jesus Christ unto him. Amen? That's what they need. And was Nicodemus saved? We don't see it here, but we know that he was, don't we? Here in Acts chapter 8, we have another occasion like this. And here it is, a man searching. A man searching. And we know he's searching because the Word of God's got a hold of him. The Lord's moving. And what's he do? He sends one of his men unto him, Philip. And the man asks, he says, who's this passage talking to about? Right? And I show you these scriptures so that you that are here without Christ, that you might see your need, that it's simple, that it's in Christ. It's in nothing you can do, but it's in what Christ has done in his gospel and you believing that, receiving that, you trusting in him. Oh, if thou canst believe, believe. Hear the word of the Lord. We pray that the Lord will open your heart that you can. And here, Philip is sent to the eunuch, and he said, I've got this passage I'm reading here. Who's he talking about? I can't understand this. How can I, verse number 31, except some man should guide me? You know, are there people in your life that way? Are there people in my life that way that need some guidance to the Lord Jesus Christ? And so Philip takes this passage in Isaiah 53, and here's what it read. Verse 32, and the place of the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken out from the earth. Those were the verses the man was concentrating on. He said, who's this man speaking about, himself or somebody else? And Philip opened his mouth, verse number 35, and began at the same scripture and preached it to him, Jesus. This is about Jesus coming and living, coming and dying, being innocent, yet giving himself for the guilty, like you. You're guilty. And he came and gave his life and was buried, and to show that he is God and to show his power and to give life unto his people, he rose from the dead. He preached unto him Jesus out of Isaiah 53. And then in Acts chapter 8 here in verse number 37, and Philip said, the man says, well, I want to be baptized. And he said, what's holding that up? Because Philip preached to him about after you're saved, the command of the Lord is for you to be baptized, to give a public testimony to the world. And we know and understand to his church that Christ has saved you. And Philip said, well, sure, I believe you're saved. Is that what Philip said? No. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That's what sinners need to do, is believe in their heart that Jesus came, lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for them. For you. Not me. Not mama, not daddy, not brother or sister, but for you. To believe that he did so for you. And the man gave a commandment, and he said, stop the chariot. They went down in the water, and listen to what he says in verse number 37. If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest, Philip says. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, for me. Not a historical point, but that he is the Savior for me, from God, my need. In Acts chapter 16, here's another occasion. And these are just personal accounts of sharing the gospel with sinners. That's the reason for this. And if you're here and you're not saved, we want you to hear these words and you might see this. We that are the Lord's people, may we be encouraged by this. There wasn't page after page of oratory in these witnesses, were there? No, but just telling you out simply that Jesus Christ came and died, was buried and rose again for sinners, for the forgiveness of their sins, for the granting to them of everlasting life, for the pardon of their soul. In Acts chapter 16, we know Paul and Silas have been held up in jail in Philippi unlawfully, and they're singing at midnight, praising the Lord in spite of their problems. And then the Lord takes and shakes up that jail with a great earthquake, and everybody's loosed, and the doors open, and the keeper of the prison's going to kill himself. Paul and Silas, Paul cries out, says, "Do thyself no harm," verse number 28, "for we're all here. Nobody's escaped. There's no one for you to give your life for." And then he called for a light, verse 29, "and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Here's a man that's been touched and troubled and knows he's got a need. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Just that simple. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house." You know what that word of the Lord is? The gospel. The gospel. And about the Lord's working. And about baptism. And about, I believe indeed, even his church. He told them about that. So we have this commission given to the Lord's church. It's given to us as members in his church. We need to preach, teach, witness. We've all been given the office, the place, the station that we have. We've been given talents and ability and contacts and different ones in our lives. We need to tell that. Tell the gospel to all those that we come in contact with. We need to, collectively as a church, even work to send that word beyond. But we don't need to forget about Jerusalem. We don't need to forget about Judea. We don't need to forget about Samaria. And we certainly always need to consider the utmost parts of the world. But do you remember in those passages, in Mark 16, in Matthew 28, and in Acts, we saw in those first two, in Mark chapter 16, that the Lord upbraided them for their unbelief. May God help us to not be unbelieving. May the Lord help us that we not have faith in him, that he will supply and he'll help. Is it scary to be a witness? Sure. Go ahead and be scared and do it. Is it scary to proclaim and to teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners? It can be. Just go ahead and do it. May we not be unbelieving in what the Lord's given us. May we not have hardness of heart. Amen? May we not have hardness of heart in sharing the gospel with others. It said there in Matthew chapter 28, in those verses that we read, it said in verse number 17 that there were those that doubted. May God help me that I not doubt. Because see, when the Lord, we need to do what the Lord's given us to do, and he will take care of the rest. May we not doubt him. May we not be filled with unbelief in this commission. May we not be filled with hardness of heart in this commission. May we not be filled with doubt in it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, understand what the Lord has done for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 1, verse number 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power," the spirit of power, "the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind." May we feel what the Lord's given us. In 1 John chapter 4, in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 15, "Whosoever shall confess," 1 John 4:15, "whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." Confess it. "And we have known and believed the love of God, that the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." We love him because he first loved us. May we May God help us and may we overcome our fear of fulfilling this commission in individual capacity. May we overcome that fear by our love for the Lord, knowing His love for us, and that we have a love for sinners. We heard of someone that passed away, that died this past week, and as far as we know, they didn't have the Lord as a Savior. You know what that means? If that is so, they woke up in hell. And they will only be brought out of hell for the judgment at the great white throne judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne judgment. They will be there for eternity. May we have a love for the Lord. May we consider the Lord's love for us. May our fear be overcome by a love for sinners that without Christ are on their way to hell. In John chapter 20, we'll close. John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, verse number 19, the scripture says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." He says that unto them. And when he had so said, he showed them two of them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. May we be glad and have fellowship with the Lord. You know what's going to dissuade us from fulfilling the great commission that the Lord's given us in his church? Is being out of fellowship with our Lord. Being in fellowship with our Lord will encourage us and help us to be at peace, to not have fear, and to do that which the Lord has given us to do. They were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, verse 21, "Peace be unto you," again, "as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." He sent us. May we go ahead and go. An opportunity, a privilege, and a blessing indeed to go and tell the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to sinners in need of salvation of their souls. Listen, may each one of us go and witness of the Lord Jesus more than we've ever gone before. May God help us in that. May God help us. We've been given this of the Lord, the call to missionary work. It's given to the Lord's church. It's given to by that. It's given to the members of those churches. May God help us that we would fill it.